Let's get ready to go, because this is the Chet Show! And it's gonna be fun.
Oh, hang on, I'm on
the train headed back to Indiana.
I like how you say that.
With a little cynicism, like, it may or may not be for you. I'm gonna have a blast.
This is the beginning of a brand new Chad Matthew podcast. I know a lot of you have not heard me talk with so much passion before.
It's the beginning of a beautiful thing.
It's going to be an amazing friendship. It will. You're going to love me. Let's go.
I know that I had to break this up into two different shows, but it's just too wild not to do this as kind of like an almost a long segment. So London kind of happened. Now, anyone who's just tuning in to this particular part two, I guess, is we're talking about signs and how finding signs will lead us into new unknown territories, or they might kind of distract us from what we think we want and lead us away from it. And then we kind of feel a bit like let down, even though that was not the universe's agenda. That's just the human kind of emotional roller coaster of not getting what we want. So as I was finishing up about living in Melbourne and how I got to Melbourne, I just finished up about how I got into London. So when I was in Melbourne, Melbourne was the start of my career. Melbourne is where the first 4 years were really the bedrock of creating lives or a life that I wanted. And that was about creating, working hard and developing a skill base of the life that I saw my family have, my parents have, you know, uncles and aunties and friends and acquaintances and TV and film. You know, there seems to be these wonderful moments in time that everyone gets to have. And so Melbourne was kind of the first instinctive place where I started building that. And for a moment in time, I had that. I had all the things that I really wanted. I was being a professional artist or actor, I should say, at the time. You know, I was a fresh new face and had a lot of energy, still have a lot of energy. And, you know, it just was rolling really well. And then I met the love of my life and you know, it kind of was going so well that I derailed myself. And, you know, you can listen into the previous podcast of how that all got to and where it all went. And then I got to now and here in this moment, which was this random night out with, you know, a friend of mine who wasn't even a friend. He was just a guy I worked with, and we ended up going out and then going to the Exchange Hotel in Melbourne. And then all of a sudden, here we are in drag doing these shows. And it was a competition show where, you know, they dressed you all up and got you on stage and had some backup dancers. And I remember, you know, doing my Beyonce song, Crazy in Love. And I basically looked a little bit like a Tina Turner, and I just went off. I just had every instinct in me to go for it. And when I got off that stage and I walked around the bar and, you know, I'd won and I was able to give my friend free drinks for the rest of the night and pay him back with the money that I won. And this was all from a sign that, you know, just to take a chance. And when someone out of the blue decides to ask me to go somewhere because I was in a rut, I was like, oh no, I can't do anything. No, no, life said this is where it stops. I need to sit in this house and be in the corner. And then all of a sudden this guy calls and he's like, come out. And I've always said this, whenever you feel at your worst, that is the time when you need to go with people or places or take chances on the complete opposite emotion. So obviously, if you're not feeling very positive, you just jump on the positive train. And it's unbelievable what can happen. You know those random nights out that you don't plan? You know those really cool, crazy nights that happen? They're just unplanned because you have a better time than you ever would have expected because you took a chance on doing something that you didn't plan. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I did. I randomly said to him, come over. I don't know you. I know of you. I've spoke for many hours on set. And then here I am winning this competition. And this guy comes up to me and says to me, wow, you're amazing. You know, you need to go to London. You need to go to London. London will love you. And I don't know what he did to me. I really don't. And something happened that night and I ended up going home with him. So yes, something did happen. And he came back to my place and then he left and he left me his number. So he lived in London, right? And we stayed in contact. And then all of a sudden he just said, you should come to London. And I'm like, I've never been outside of Australia. What would I do? And he goes, you can stay here and get yourself started. You know, he lived in Fulham, the big Australian kind of part of London. I was like, okay. I just said, okay. And before I knew it, I had sold everything that I owned to a friend of mine who did not need it, Kevin. He was lovely, lovely guy. He was the one to help me. He was the one that helped me drive. So he was the one who started to help me drive. Kevin was the one who drove me around the zoo car park and got me into his car. So he actually bought all my stuff, all my furniture and all my things. And he gave me some extra money that I needed to go to London because I didn't have anything really. I just had an instinct yet again. And hey, I went with another friend of mine, Stephen, to the bank. He had put all his rent into my account. And basically, when you applied for your visa, you needed to have X amount of money. I didn't have that much money. So we lied and I said that I didn't have that much money. I said I did have that much money, but I didn't. So he put it in. I got the printout. We withdrew it and basically I sent it off. Now, I didn't think that I would get my visa and my passport back within like 3 weeks. So I got the passport and then I submitted it with the visa and then basically, yeah, within 3 weeks, all these things had happened. Funnily enough, you know, I was still talking to this guy and I ended up going over to London. And I just booked this. I mean, we didn't even have e-tickets and it was still the old tickets, right? I had to go through 4 different airports, right? And I'd never caught an international flight at all. I went from Melbourne to Sydney, Sydney to Taipei, Taipei to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to London. And it was on China Southern or something like that. One of those flights, cheap airline. But I actually ended up having all 4 seats. So I remember having a bed basically the whole way through. I could lie down. So I had a really cruisy first leg out of Australia in economy. I actually had all the room I could possibly need and more. And I went to London. I just did it. I was there within about 5 weeks after this dance off. And something inside of me said, go to London. And, you know, I still couldn't really use computers. My spelling and reading was still quite shocking. I was self-learning how to read in Melbourne because I was picking up scripts and basically just only starting to learn how to read and write because I was around about the 24, 25. And then I went to London. And so London happened and we didn't last very long. He wanted different things in relationships and it was always just a stepping stone. Of course, I had a romantic moment. You know, I was coming out of a bad relationship. Here's this person opening up their front door, literally. And I thought, this is amazing. This is all happening and I'm living in a whole new country and it's all brand new and everything. And then the next year was basically a really, really awesome, amazing, disappointing and whirlwind where I was working in promotions and events. I was doing like road shows. I was doing so many different things. Like I was working, I was like the best and most amazing extrovert and party person. Like I was at every gay club, every 4 nights of the week. I was just a one-stop shop that didn't stop and loved it. And I had an amazing time. And I was living in a room with some other people and got settled with in that home because it was a cool, safe environment and made some friendships. I didn't plan to move out and try and, you know, stretch too far and create a whole new life because I was only still on a working holiday. So the working holiday visa was what it was. So I kind of just stayed as a outgoing, working, progressing young man. And then I met Daniel on a random night. Now, Daniel is a man that I married in London. And how that came about is another transpiring, weird chain of events. So I had met this guy, a friend of his, Adam, his name was. We had formulated a friendship and got together and what have you. And I was doing road shows and all this kind of stuff. And then I was going to move in with him. This was in Shoreditch. And I was coming from Vauxhall. So I don't know if you guys know London, but it just kind of gives you a broad kind of brushstroke of, you know, living in Fulham and living in Vauxhall and then living in, you know, up near Charing Cross and in Shoreditch and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of was really, I was floating. I was everywhere. I went on this road show and I got this call and he was like, oh, you got to come out. You got to come out with me when you get back to London. And I'm like, I can't. I've got, guess what? No money. And he's like, oh, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the money. I'm like, dude, I've been on this road show for like weeks and, you know, they paid basically calendar monthly. So obviously, you know, you're getting calendar pays and what have you. So you got all this money and then you've got no money. Everyone knows what that's like. I decided that I would go for one or two drinks and I went back. I hadn't moved in with him yet. So I was moving in with him, but I hadn't moved in with him yet. So I was still in Vauxhall. So I went to Vauxhall. I remember getting this really cheap wine and I remember dulling myself up and I was going to Rupert Street, it's called. And I remember doing my hair and I've got a photo of it and it just looks like I've stuck my finger in an electrical socket. It just, it's, I don't know what, but I must have been in that real frantic kind of like, I'm going to jump out of my skin kind of state because that's how I looked, right? And I remember because Rupert Street has these double doors and then double doors above the North Equator, you know, like most places they have double doors because of the cold or whatever. I remember seeing Daniel for the first time, staying next to Adam, and I walked in and I ripped open the double doors and basically like, I have arrived. And I just clocked Adam and then moved my sights to Daniel and I just went after him. And I don't know what it was about that night. And it was just, it wasn't even meant to happen. I ended up just latching onto him and going for it. And then lo and behold, we ended up being married. So it just goes to show that you just never know what is around the corner or what could happen. It's just, it's so bizarre that something that you just forget about which is I never even thought about a relationship. Like, I really didn't. I was on a holiday visa. I was traveling around. I don't think I had a relationship with anybody. And then here comes this guy, and I ended up falling in love with him. Now, I'll get into another conversation about my romantic lives and partners on a completely different podcast. Today is just a follow through signs and just taking chances. So I'm just going to keep going forward and telling you how this whirlwind of like life, taking this chance from stopping smoking, stopping drinking, getting cut from, you know, bad environments and leaving to Melbourne, and then Melbourne kind of, you know, fulfilling a prophecy of self-achievement, and then spitting me out for a moment only to find myself in a bar where I ended up dancing as a drag queen, to finding this guy come up and tell me that I should go to London. Then I end up living with him in London, and then going on all these road shows and having this whirlwind of a year, and about to live with this guy whose best friend or very good friend happens to be single, and on a night out with him where I ended up just frantic state where I just like had this hair that was just crazy and this attitude that was like, I am untouchable. And on that night, I just happened to infuse this enthusiasm into this wonderful man. And then from there, I meant, we had a great time. Like, we traveled and we, you know, we did lots of things, and again, you know, unfortunately, things were too good. Things were way too good. And because they were way too good, I got really insecure. And I was drinking a lot, and kind of, you know, I hadn't allowed for any time between going to London to have a holiday and work as a holiday working visa, and to complement another person's life in a real relationship. Like, that just wasn't even a part of my thought process. And then all of a sudden I'm with this absolutely amazing person who's putting everything on a platter for me and offering me all the things that I've really wanted. And I never accounted for any of it. And I didn't account for even my own actions and things. And you know, again, I just, there is no negativity with any of these people. Everybody I've had the chance and opportunity to reconnect with, and over time have some really amazing new relationships with, and kind of healing time and what have you. And it's been really great. But even if I just keep going, which I'm going to, and so I'll come back to Daniel in a relationship and my marriage at another time. But, you know, here's this amazing experience with this person, because I took a chance one night and I just went out when I didn't feel like it. And I just went crazy and then ended up in this relationship and then ended up in this marriage. And of course, all these things take work and there's more to it. But I'm just explaining how life, when you plan to not plan, and when you allow to take chances, but you've got to be ready. There's certain things, I think, that every step along the way, as erratic as the story sounds, there were so many things that were happening to me in my professional life that were grounding me and ready for like a relationship, or ready to take a flight. You know, like, I didn't just jump on a flight and, you know, hope that everything works out. Like, there was being able to create a network that is long distance with my family. So because I'd created a long distance relationship from Sydney and Melbourne, the next leg was possible, because it was much further, but I'd had the experience of creating a long distance relationship with my family at the time and my friends. So what I'm trying to explain through this amazing and crazy story and past events is how we are equipping ourselves every day with tools. There are so many things that are happening in, to, and around us on the daily basis that are allowing us to be ready for new things. It's just us who is holding us back from those new things because we are ready for more. We always want more. We always say we want something better. We always say we want something more. And subconsciously, we're getting ready for them. But consciously, we're not taking action. And I think that's what I'm trying to share. It's like that's the point of this story and these turn of events is that I just allowed myself to go with the flow. And sometimes they were shitty. Like, I mean, relationships ended, but the experience didn't end. The experience is in my head and in my heart. And I will never forget and I'll always cherish just being able to have these stories to tell and to have the emotion to feel. It's just been an amazing ride. And so I went back after my relationship ended. I was really devastated, obviously, and I drank even harder and I was even more detrimental to my health. And so I kind of went back to Sydney. At the time, Daniel was happy for me to stay as a de facto partner and just stay on the visa and just kind of, you know, say that I'm living with him and kind of get established and then just wait whatever it was, 5 years, so I could become a resident or citizen. Because I couldn't get my shit together and my act together, I had to leave for my own safety. So I went and I left back to Sydney and I got back to Sydney and I was terrible. I was so angry. At this point, returning to Sydney to me was the first time, which we're going to get to it. There's another time this happens and that's after Canada, right? But at this point, this was the first time that I returned back to Sydney. And I just felt like, can that ride be over? Like, am I back where I started? Because as far as I was concerned, that experience of life was over, right? Melbourne was done, London was done, and I'm back where I was. But that's not reality. Reality is that I'm still living, I'm still evolving, I'm still growing, I'm still young. I'm not back where I started. I'm in a former place that's familiar, but I'm no longer the person that didn't know or have all those experiences. I'm a more evolved person. I should have been thinking I'm a more evolved person. I should have been thinking I am a better person for having those experiences. And I'm a better person for allowing myself to be great, be adventurous, be amazing, and be like fulfilling my dreams and my goals and just bloody going for it. But I didn't. I went into self-destruct mode and decided that, you know, those good moments and that experience was it. I got the boot. I was out the door and, you know, back in the same old trap that I tried to get out of. And it's the way that I used to look at life that held me back. It was the way that I used to see my life and see life with me in it. It was so black and white. It was just so, you know, it was either really colorful or it was just black and white. Like, I didn't allow there to be like, you know, a good day or a bad day. Oh, no, no. Or, you know, allow there to be a bad moment. It had to be a whole bad day. Oh, yes, I had a bad moment. So it was a bad day. Everything was terrible because that one thing happened. And I used to live like that. I used to let one thing destroy everything. And that's changed so much for me now. That self-destructive and that disappointed young child who I've spoken about, who gets up on his high horse and trots around and goes and lives life adventurously. And then the moment one thing doesn't work out, or the moment something doesn't work out, oh, torch the lot. burn everything. It's not worth it anymore. I've tried enough. I've put my heart and soul into it and everything's no good because, you know, there's something in my way. Yeah, there's something in your way, Chad. It's called another opportunity. Do you want it? And for many years, I just stopped believing in opportunity. And so I just stopped taking risks. I stopped taking the chances and opportunities that were coming my way. And I just decided that if I just did the same things over and over again and the drugs and alcohol, then I could cope with that. And of course, you can't. You can't cope with just like a Groundhog's Day. And like, even if things are familiar, you know, you need to evolve. You need to feel like there's more in life. And that's because we need to take chances, and that's because we need to believe that there are chances to take. And when you stop doing that, that's when it becomes black and white and it's just so miserable. And I used to be so, so miserable. It was very disheartening. It was really disheartening. I disappointed myself quite a lot. And so I got to Sydney and I kind of got my act together. Funnily enough, I stopped drinking and doing things and smoking, because I picked up smoking while I was in London. I was drinking and smoking, and then I put those things down, and I was living in King's Cross, in the King's Cross area there. I remember just like stopping everything and getting my act together because I'd realized what I had lost. So a moment of clarity and sanity had finally crept in. And I started going to the gym and I got a personal trainer. Again with the trainer, right? I mean, it's the first step forward if you want to completely change your life, you know. Nothing changes if nothing changes. So what did I do? I got a PT because I just wasn't strong enough. I wasn't my best leader. I just wasn't able to give myself the next best thing that I needed to get going. And so I guess I just kind of like jumped on to, you know, his train, and he was just amazing. He was like motivating, and, you know, we did multiple sessions, I've got the photographs from my first ever naked picture, you know, that I got done. And for me, coming at, from being a fat kid to traveling the world and doing all these things, and then being able to do this photo shoot where I was at my absolute fittest after being at my absolute, at then, rock bottom, was just, it was such a beautiful experience. You know, it was like a full roller coaster ride of all these different elements and different moments that kind of got to be really, really positive for me. And it kept me believing that I've got more to offer myself and that the world's got more to offer me. And so I started believing again and I started trusting again. And when I say trusting, I'm trusting myself to take those risks, to see the signs, you know, to do something that I wasn't doing. Because if you don't do something that you're not doing, then what new things are they going to be? And so I decided, and I remember going to a friend of mine at the time. It was Melbourne Cup thing. And I went to his place, and he was living on Victoria Street in King's Cross, Sam's guy. His brother came over and I didn't know he was his brother to start with. And I go to open the door because I was the closest to the door when it rang, and I open it and he goes, now I was in the most amazing feeling and experience, and I was ready, you know, like I had done all this work and I was like pumped and I was like, you know, mania chat. I was like, yay, take on the world. And I opened the door and he's like, hi, I'm Blair. And I'm like, hi, marry me. And no word of a lie, I did. I said to him, marry me, take a chance. What have you got to lose? And I don't know what came over me. Like I was, he had something and I wanted it and I wanted to be a part of that. We ended up dating. We ended up living together. That's going to be another story and another conversation because that's a whole different thing and I've still got more to go on here. We decided that, because he lived in Wodonga, Albury. Now, I didn't know any of the stuff. He didn't have a chance to talk, right? But I was like really, really like engrossed in like, you need to take a risk, you know, you need more in your life. And I was really kind of talking about myself, right? I was like, you're going to come on my ride. So this was like the interpreted version. You're going to come on my ride. You're going to be a part of this amazing journey. You're going to be, you know, the next best, next amazing thing next to me. And we're going to go conquer the world. I mean, basically that was the underlying hidden message, but it sounded more to him like, I think you're amazing. You're just wonderful. And I think I want to marry you and I just want to be with you. And I don't know why, but you've just got something. I just went on and on and on. And I just wouldn't let him go. Like, and then guy comes over to me and he's like, Chad, like, you know, that's my brother. I said, oh, really? And I said, oh, does it matter? And he goes, no. And I said, oh, good, because we're going to get married and we're going to, you know, all this stuff. He's like, oh, okay. But he lives like, you know, in Wodonga, Albury. So I ended up, we ended up doing a long distance thing and I ended up packing up and going to Albury, Wodonga. Now, this is my last relationship that I had and like live-in relationship. And I ended up going and when I got there, I didn't realize that I had nothing to do. Like my life wasn't there. So I kind of picked up my life and I went there and then I started drinking and getting really, you know, just really kind of like anxious about, well, what am I going to do? You know, like here's me taking this chance. And then he decided and I decided and we kind of both decided that we would move back to Sydney. We would move to Sydney. And so he would move to Sydney. And so I'm not sure if who came into whose life for what reason, but I had a really great experience with taking such a big leap and just like being so brute strength and adamant about what I wanted. I mean, I'd never done anything like that in my life. I'd never said to someone with full conviction, you, I pick you, I want you. And I mean, I don't regret it for a moment. The relationship, obviously, it didn't go the way we both wanted in the end, but I can't take that back because I didn't know that I had that kind of power and strength and will to want, learn, be with, understand, and create a life with someone like just so immensely, so quickly, so abruptly. And it's like, wow, it was so much passion. Like we had a very passionate relationship. Like I knew that there was something there and we had the most amazing sex life. And it was just it was just all passion. And I had never had that side of things before. And so that chance, that opportunity that I took and I ran with was really amazing. Then we moved to Sydney and then we kind of, you know, about a year or so into it, we're like, you know, it just didn't work. And so again, I'll have these bigger conversations about these relationships later, but you know, I decided that I wasn't going to be in this relationship anymore. So I left. But what I didn't say before was before I had met Blair, that week, right? That week before, I had gone to Canada House and for some reason I said to a friend of mine, my best friend, I said to him, his name's Angus, I said, I'm going to win the lotto, but I don't think it's going to be money. I think it's going to be something else. And I don't know what that is. During that week, I went down to Canada House and something's told me to go and apply for Canada. I met this guy and, you know, this whole thing about, this is just before I went to this Melbourne Cup party at Guy's place, my friend, and met his brother. And I applied for the thing, but I never got it in a week and a half like I did with London. So I just assume it just wasn't going to happen. At the end of this relationship, literally at the end of when I walked out the door, a day or two later, the envelope arrived, right, with the Canadian visa approval So this whole period of the waiting game that I did not have to do for London because I had it in 3 weeks, including the passport and the visa, that whole period was this romance, that whole waiting period for the visa. And so I was devastated after this relationship. I didn't go straight away to Vancouver. In fact, I left it for like a whole, almost to the day that it expired, that if I did not touch down in Canada, I wouldn't have got it. Now, the interesting part about all of that was I was above the age bracket. But when I applied for the visa, they had changed the age in the month of applying for the age that I was. So I actually ended up being of age that meets the requirements. I didn't meet the requirements prior. I'd only met it because I went because you have to go in person, or you had to go in person. It's down at the Rocks down there, down the end there, near the Harbour Bridge. I went down there and I went in there and you do all the stuff and you have the conversation and everything. And none of this was the same with London. Yeah, they happened to just allow that age group. So I was eligible and I applied, but then I didn't hear back. And then Blair came along and then I basically went to back to my friend's place after the relationship with Blair. And I just was like, I can't deal with life. I was just having a major breakdown. Everything was great. We had great times, but you know what? When you're in the middle of a crisis, or you're having a moment, or, you know, you're hitting a rock bottom, or you're learning new things, you forget about all the stuff that you've conquered. You forget about all the things that have been great. You forget about all the amazing times and all the quality stuff that is still all there, regardless of the problem or problems. I got the visa and I didn't want to go. I was just like, I can't do it. I can't go. I can't do this again. You know, I can't go and just lift up. I'd gone now to Melbourne. I'd gone now to London. I'd gone to Melbourne again. I'd gone to Albury and Wodonga, and then I'd come back to Sydney, and it was just around and around in circles. And so I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And then I left it. I'd actually gone and lived back in Melbourne to work on a friend's house he was renovating. His name's Stephen, and I was working Packham or something. Anyway, he had a place and he was literally ripping this house apart. Like, it was like gutted, and I was living in this gutted house, and I was working at Fitness First again. I just decided that I needed to go to at least activate this visa, and I left it to like the last moment, and I was like, I can't going. I'm going to go. And I told my friend, this was around Christmas, so it was snowing there, and it's like I was coming from summer and, you know, to snow, and I hadn't seen snow since London and England, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And so I went for a week or 10 days, and I got there and I had this nice little hotel, and I went out to this bar and I met this guy. And he goes, oh, you should come back and you should definitely stay here and everything. And his name was Bobby. And we had this little, you know, fling and da 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 da. And it was just all I needed was those few things to line up, right? Get there, have somewhere safe, walk around and feel relaxed, and then meet somebody who was welcoming. And all those things lined up. And I was like, okay. Okay, this seems great. This seems amazing. And so I went back to this house, you know, back to Melbourne after the 10 days. It was going into Christmas, right? So I was working at Fitness First. I was a fitness professional now. So, you know, I was working as a PT and I was also a fitness coach, and I was working in reception. And I was like, I can't, how do I tell these people that I need to leave at Christmas? So I made up this amazing, horrible story that was not far off the truth. And I was drinking a lot living in this house that was being ripped apart. Like, it was basically besides the shell of brick and the roof on top. I was living on a mattress on the floor. You know, even half the floor was gone. So there was no toilet one spot and everything. And I was drinking all the time, then going to Fitness First and being this fitness professional. So I was living a double life, as I've spoken about before. I just said to him, I need to go. I'm not feeling well. And I made up this big elaborate story that I was going to a rehab and everything. I just disappeared from the country. And I went to Sydney, said goodbye to people, and I just got on a plane to Vancouver. Like that day, I went and gave my resume. I had all this stuff planned. I got everything planned from Sydney. I went and printed out all these resumes and I had it all ready. And I went around and gave all my resumes out to Steve Nash's and all these other little fitness places, because fitness is what I was doing at the time. Then Vancouver just happened and then the relationship didn't take off with Bobby. And, you know, he kind of got that I was, you know, now on a working holiday, and I kind of, you know, wanted to branch out and do all these new things. And in the last show to now, we've covered 3 decades. So 30 years, right? We've covered 30 years. And there's so many stories that are going to come off this, right? But Vancouver was amazing. Vancouver was like winning the lottery. I found a piece that was always missing from me. And it's my favorite word now. And I love this word. And it's simplicity. And I never knew what simplicity was. And I never knew how to sit still in one spot and just take in nature or just be able to relax and enjoy just being okay. It was like winning the lottery. It really was. Like I learned this a little bit later. I mean, Vancouver was a rocky road to start with. It was like, you know, well, I'd just come from Melbourne where I was living in a home, like a broken, renovation dream house, a renovator's dream house, the block, and living and working in fitness to, you know, the middle of winter, Christmas, and, you know, what Christmas really looks like rather than how stores display Christmas with real snow and real. Yeah, it was just mind-blowing. It was just another moment that I was so grateful to have taken a chance on opportunity, you know, and that's what I've wanted to cover through these stories. Now, there's so much more that I'm going to talk about, because each part of that story has another individual and has another whole offset of amazing stories and amazing things. But opportunity only has ever come to me because I took it. And for that moment in time, as scary as it looked or sounded, I just jumped and I just went for it. If you've listened to both these podcasts and hear how exciting that sounds, it was just as scary as it was fun and exciting. But none of those things would have happened, or none of this amazing life that I've got to live would have happened, if I didn't just take a chance. I mean, it wasn't like I had a bank balance that allowed me to do these things. It wasn't like I had these people who were facilitating this movement. It was genuinely life saying, how much do you want this? How much do you want this? And that's what, you know, that's what got that crazy story off the ground. And it truly is about how much do you want this? What will you do? Or what won't you hold yourself back from? So, guys, I got to share with you London. I've got to share with you my Melbourne trips. My Melbourne lives, my London and England life, my Vancouver life, and my Sydney life. And there is so many more shows that are going to come out of this. I mean, as you can hear, there's like so much stuff to really draw from. And it's not just about experiencing my experience or listening to my stories. There is a message. And the messages that I'm trying to share with you all is that everybody has this world. Everybody has the ability to jump. You just got to do it. You just got to take a chance. I mean, I never thought I'd run up to somebody and say, marry me, you, I pick you, you're the one. But it worked because it felt right. Not because I just instinctively wanted to be crazy. I genuinely just knew. I really did. I knew that it had to happen, and it did. And when that person came up to me in Melbourne and said, London will love you, the way he said it to me and how it sat with inside me, I knew that the only thing holding me back from London not loving me is going to be me. And I didn't want that, you know. And Vancouver, you know, the last part that I'll share with you about Vancouver was before I went back to Vancouver, I went down, I was like, oh, I don't know if I should go, you know, like I want to go back, but you know, can I do this all again? Because I'd given up my job and I'd done everything and I'd gone to Sydney and I was just over it. I was just over living in this house, you know, that was pulled apart. My relationship had failed. You know, I thought that going to Melbourne for another time would work out and be really amazing. And it didn't work that way. And so I'm sitting there in this train station and I remember just saying, I need a sign. I need a sign. Like I actually asked, I need a sign. Should I go to Canada? And this guy, this older gentleman got onto the train and he sat across from me and he had this walking stick, and this walking stick had like three legs that got, you could pull down and make a seat out of it. And he sat there and all of a sudden he spun the seat part around, and on that seat was the maple leaf with Canada written on it. And I swear you not, I just got out of that train and I was like, thank you. Because I asked for that sign and that was the first thing I saw. Like, if you ever ask for a sign and you see that sign, believe it. Don't just go, oh, I'm, you know, subliminally must be putting it out there. No, it's real. Don't trust me, trust you. Trust you that you are in tune with your life enough to take those chances. I can't wait to tell you, share with you, and have you experience what I've experienced and how much it has changed my life positively. I want to share with you everything that I possibly can and take you on some amazing rides. And with all my guests, I really hope that this show will just remain a really positive, optimistic, and amazing place to learn about each other and have an awesome time. And remember, guys and girls, you gotta live life, love life, and enjoy life, because it's your life to live, it's your life to love, and it's your life to enjoy. So for now, guys, I hope that all sits really well with you, because it's a lot to take in, but there's so much more. So stay tuned, because we are going to keep going. In our-